So we'll go ahead and call to order at 5:34.
Thank you.
Yes.
And our next item is approval of November 15th board agenda.
So moved.
A second.
Okay, we've got a first and a second. Shannon, do you want to do roll call? Do you mind?
Yeah, I'll do roll call. Who seconded that, please?
Dixie.
Definitely. Thank you. Did somebody else join? Is Denise here?
Lily's here.
Apologize. Lily's here. All right.
Hey, Lily, how you doing?
Hi.
Okay, so let's do roll call. Christy?
Yes.
Dixie?
Yes.
Lily?
Here.
Do you vote yes on the agenda?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought we were I logged in so late. I'm sorry. Yes, that'll be a yes.
Okay. And Carla?
Yes.
Thank you. Passes at 100%.
All right, and our next item is public comment. Do we have anything from San Bernardino or El Centro?
Nothing from San Bernardino.
Nothing from El Centro.
Okay. Our next item is agenda action items. Approval of the minutes from the last meeting, that is attachment A. I'll move to approve.
Second. Carla?
And roll call vote, Christy?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Dixie?
Yes.
Lily?
Yes.
And is that everybody?
Who's here? It's Denise. I'm here.
Denise.
Yes.
Okay.
Hello, right. Denise. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good to see you. How are your babies doing?
Oh, goodness. You mean my 4.0 students? My 4.0 black belt students? Yes. Duh. There's a humble brag for you.
I love it. That's great.
They're
good to hear.
Very well. Very well. Thank you.
Wonderful.
All right, our next item is approval of virtual meeting. And Shannon, correct me if I'm wrong, this is the one that we need to do once a month, correct?
Yes, this is the one we need to do once a month. And I'm still unclear if we're having a meeting in December or not. But if we are not, this will be the last time we can do this because they have rescinded this authority and we'll have to be in person again starting in 2023.
That's what I heard too.
Good to know because, you know, every empty space in a school becomes storage.
Oh, no.
Sure does.
I'm going to have to clean that conference room out.
First time we'll see it. That's
so
great. I know. So we need a board vote on this one. I don't know if it's our last one or second to last one, but we do need this every month that we do it.
I will move to approve a virtual meeting for the next 30 days, as I understand it.
I'll second.
Oh. I'm going to go with Denise on that one because that's the voice I've heard. Okay. And then roll call vote, Lily?
Yes.
Dixie?
Yes.
Sorry, I'm going down my little gallery here, making sure I get everybody. Christy?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
And Denise?
Yes.
Did I get everyone? Okay. Motion passes.
All right. Let's see our next one. Oh, I thought I had my reading glasses on. I have my sunglasses on. I could do it, but exceptions of financials. Do we have a presentation here?
Joseph, if you could jump to the attachment that has the financials, we can just briefly go over it with the board. I don't think it's anything new. Bill, I don't know if you've seen this.
I did look at it today.
I don't know if you've seen it recently enough to comment on it, but we're at a, for both schools, we're at a really odd time of year because the cash flow has not caught up with the expenses. If you look at our budget as a year-long picture, we're at, both schools are absolutely fine. It's just that cash flow. And I know I'm not as familiar with El Centro, but for San Bernardino, we started catching up. We're starting to get those one-time funds in and we're starting to get the monthly reimbursements in. So it is starting to catch up.
Right.
Bill, are you in the same situation?
Yes. And there's like a little bit of an anomaly there, you know, because I got word talking to Leah with you know, CSMI that, you know, cash flow was good right now. I could move on a couple of projects, but, you know, so it's a little bit wanky. Is that the term right now? But we know that that different grants and different monies are coming in and and that we're covered. So I feel okay.
What's the purpose of our approval of this? Is it going somewhere? Does it need to be submitted somewhere? Do we know?
No, it doesn't get submitted.
It doesn't get submitted. It's more about the transparency.
Okay.
You know, that we have communicated with our board in a public forum that this is where we are financially and that you all had a chance to input or give us direction or guidance.
Got it. Are there any questions?
Christy, you usually approve the financials every board meeting, whether or not they're going anywhere.
Okay. I was just curious if this was part of some kind of submittal to, I don't know, regulator or something like that. Just curious.
I know that our authorizing district and possibly the auditors, but more likely our authorizing district has every right to go in and like look at our agendas, look at our minutes, check the recordings, things like that. And that's definitely something they're going to want to see on a monthly basis.
Got it.
Actually, I like this setup because we haven't seen this before.
Me too.
Financial summary and then some charts and then the actual numbers. I think it's a pretty good picture.
It's much easier to read, much easier to understand.
I agree.
Are there any questions or discussions about this from any board members?
I'm good.
I'm good too.
Do we hear a motion to approve?
Move to approve the financials for both San Bernardino and El Centro.
I'll second. This is Christy.
Okay, roll call vote. Christy?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Lily?
Yes.
And Dixie?
Yes.
Onward.
Okay. Next item is approval of consolidated application submission.
What we lovingly refer to as the CON app. It's a yearly submission that it just kind of covers all the title funds, all the some of the one-time funds, things like that, and it's consolidated into one general application. But before we do it, we do need board permission, and then we need to submit those minutes with it.
So the applications aren't actually done yet.
No,
this is the approval to do the application, and then it'll come back to us again.
Correct. Okay. Well, it'll come back to Doreen.
Right.
It's, for lack of a better word, it's really a no-brainer because this is what every school does across the board. And every school gets their Title I, their Title II, their Title IV, you know, all these title funds. It's just the permission to submit the application is required from the board.
Okay. I will move to approve that.
Second, Carla.
Any discussion?
No.
Okay. Roll call vote. I'm going to go the other way around. Dixie.
Yes.
Lily.
Yes.
Denise.
Yes.
Carla.
Yes.
And Christy.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Testing results. Yay.
Yay.
Oh, hang on. We've got a approval of additional November meeting. Oh,
I am so sorry. I skipped right over that.
Oh, yes. Go right ahead.
Was that a Freudian slip? What day are we talking about? Since I was not at the last meeting, what day are we talking about for an additional?
I am. Doreen texted me a lot today, and it was in that text. So I apologize. I'm scrolling up my phone. November 22nd at 5:30 to approve the first interim.
22nd. Yes. Does that work for everybody?
Next week, huh?
Tuesday. I'm good.
Oh, Tuesday? You're right. It's 1 week. 1 week from today.
Tuesday works for me.
Yeah.
What time was that again?
5:30.
Okay.
Yeah, same time, just a week later. So that's
and it would be very, very short. It's just that one motion to approve the first interim.
Okay, good.
That works for me.
Yep.
Okay, can we have a motion?
I'll move to approve the additional November meeting 1 week from today, November 22nd.
I will second.
And who was that? I'm sorry, Lily?
Ellie.
Okay, roll call. Christy?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Lily?
Yes.
Dixie?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Awesome. Now we can talk about
CTAS.
Take it away.
Joseph, would you be so kind as to put that up? Now, I know that Bill agrees with me. I know I'm listed first, so that's why I'm just going right in. I don't think state tests are a very good indicator of what students know, what they're capable of, or how much they've grown. My big example is like a high school student could start out with a 6% average and wind up with a 57% average, but on the report card, that's still an F. So it's kind of the same thing with the state tests. So philosophically, I tend not to put too much stock into state tests, but I also know they're very important. They do reflect the effectiveness of the school and its program. And it's especially important during a renewal year or when a year is coming up. So we do take it very seriously, and we want the students to do as best as possible. And this time, to make life easier for all of you, Bill and I used the same template. We approached it a little bit easier, but at least your eyes aren't going to be crossing like they were last month. So, Joseph, we could go to the next one. So what I did is I put Ballington as a compared to three other agencies. San Bernardino Unified School District, that's the one in the top right. Our closest elementary school, that's Monterey Elementary, and then the state overall. And Ballington San Bernardino is the one in the upper left. So this gives you a little bit of an idea of how the entire school performed against these other agencies. And again, it's the entire agency. We are, I think, doing well in math, comparatively speaking. And we're probably, in terms of when we look at their peers in the city of San Bernardino, we're not too far away from where other students their age are performing. The state, however, that's a pretty big goal. And that's, I would like to see us above 50% in both ELA and math. I would like us to achieve far above the state. So before I go on to specific grade levels, does anyone have any questions about the agencies as a whole?
I don't have questions, but I do want to point out, because when I was looking at that data, you know, you're looking at Ballington, San Bernardino with ELA being 14.28 and the district being at 7.14, you know, you two timed them. So that's very successful.
It
is. And as far as the mathematics, and I mean, I've been reading articles, you know, ad nauseum about the dropping in mathematics scores and everything else. So you're looking at 23.37, you know, mathematically proficient in your school as compared to 8.33.
Yeah.
I mean,
San Bernardino was hit particularly hard with COVID and the economics that followed and things like that. And I think that we're seeing that with the behaviors in some of our schools in the county of San Bernardino, not just the city, in the entire county. And I think we saw some stories about that on the news and different media outlets and things like that. And I think that the relationships we have with the students and the families went a long way in managing those behaviors, and that helped them grow maybe a little bit more than their peers in other schools.
Right. And I think that's very good data.
Yeah. It's also important to recognize numbers. With Monterey Elementary in the lower left-hand corner, we're probably looking at several hundred students that took the test, you know, in grades 3 through 6. San Bernardino Unified, we're talking several thousand that created this average. And at the state, it's hundreds of thousands that created this average.
Right.
For Ballington, San Bernardino, it was a total of about, oh, I should know this off the top of my head, maybe 6 total, definitely less than 75. So that's something to keep in mind too, is that each student's individual performance has a much higher impact on the percentage than a larger agency. And that's going to be true for Bill as well.
Oh yeah.
So, okay, now we can go to third grade.
That's it. Well, I have a question for you, Shannon.
Yes.
And I apologize if you already said it. What is the, I get why we're comparing with, San Bernardino Unified and the state. What's the significance of Monterey?
They're our closest elementary school.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They're an individual elementary school. We have a large number of students who, if they went to their school of residence, that's where they would be going.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay. So third grade, I mentioned this last time, the third grade teacher was so upset about these ELA numbers. Our in-house assessments demonstrated a much higher percentage, and she's still frustrated to this day. She thinks that should have been much, much higher, but she's really happy with her math, which I agree, that's pretty good. The district as a whole and third grade. And I think I'm a little surprised with statewide, I mean, countrywide really, achievement, because third grade is traditionally the lowest achieving grade because they've never taken the test before. And these kiddos missed half of first grade and most of second grade. Plus their attendance during third grade was abysmal because every time they sniffled, they were sent home for 2 weeks. So I think overall third grade just surprised me on every level. If we could go to fourth grade, please. Fourth grade was the scores we see for fourth grade in San Bernardino are the scores I expected for third grade. And I don't know if that happened. I'm not enough of a data expert to know if that happened because this is also the first time they took the test, because the test was suspended for 2 years. If doing third grade remote had more of an impact, you know, we could wax poetic for hours about the possible reasons. But this does show us that whether it's content knowledge or testing environment, fourth grade or current fifth graders is where we need to have the biggest amount of growth. And when we have this conversation next year, I'm not going to be presenting it as, look, only 15% of our fifth graders in 2023 met the standard. I'm going to compare it between 2022 and 2023 so you all can see how these individual students developed and grew over time. And then fifth grade, who is the one that just knocked it out of the park. That was just, we're still celebrating. It's super clear. I mentioned this last month. It's super clear that having only 14 students in the classroom allowed the teacher to give such individualized attention and was able to differentiate her curriculum to the point that, I mean, 61% in math on the state test. That's almost unheard of. Just between us and the recording, I'm a little bit surprised that somebody didn't call and say, that's unusually high. Can we look at your testing environment? It's really, really high. So we're super, super happy with what happened in fifth grade last year. And we're trying really hard to replicate it this year with last year's fourth graders. It's a little bit more challenging because it's a full classroom as opposed to 14, she has 25. And it's a full classroom of students who are struggling much more than her fifth graders last year. You know, you look at where fourth grade was and there was a bigger learning curve.
Then you look at growth. You look at growth, right, yeah, Shannon? Growth. Like if you look at the growth from where they were to where they became.
Exactly.
And you can demonstrate greater learning, even though it might not be greater proficiency at the time.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's the journey.
So these test results were, they were taken in classroom, right? There was nothing, you know, no homeschooling or not homeschooling, but hybrid involved.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
This was the first one in 3 years.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
So I think Doreen actually called the fifth grade teacher. I was like, what did you do? And even the fifth grade teachers, like it was only 14 kids, and it was 14 kids that had been with us since their first day of kindergarten. And so remote learning happened when they were a little bit older, but they knew us and we knew them super, super well. So all those things came together and they did really, really well.
That's great.
Yeah. Any questions or need me to clarify anything for San Bernardino? And I did present this last month, but I also want to point out that we had a huge percentage of third and fourth graders right at the border between slightly below standard and met standard. We talked a little bit about that it was, I want to say it would have bumped up the percentage to like 20 something percent proficient in ELA. It was like they were right on the cusp. So that's something that's a little bit optimistic too.
Yeah, I'm really happy with the fifth graders that you're showing here. With the state, is California lower than the rest of the country?
I don't think so. I think, you know, I have not looked at a comparison for California to the actual country itself, but from the different articles I've been reading, there has been a dip in ELA and in math across the board.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's a little bit tricky. It's a little bit tricky to compare state to state because this is specifically a California test and every state administers their own version of the test. Even though we have common standards, how we evaluate those standards varies hugely across the country.
There are different cut scores for different states. So some states have a lower cut score that if you meet it is proficient, and some have a higher one, and that's the skew of the data that people nationwide that people don't take into consideration, you know. And that's something that educators know, but unfortunately the populace do not. But there are different cut scores of what proficiency is. So you might be proficient in Louisiana, but in California or Boston or Massachusetts, you will not be proficient based on what that score set for proficiency.
Yep. I'm just looking at the state and, you know, 30% for math, that's actually really low.
It's very, very low.
Everything dropped. They were about 50, and 55.
Even though the states administer different tests, different assessments, and they score them differently. There is one assessment called the Nation's Report Card. You might have seen that on the news in the last few weeks. And they take samplings from 5th, 8th, and 11th grade, I believe. And that's pretty consistent scoring across the state. I think that's a better indicator of how the country as a whole is doing. except given the fact it's such a small sampling. It's not super reliable for the entire population. But I mean, this whole thing goes back to what I said about the philosophy and the pedagogy of standardized tests, exactly those questions.
Yeah. So the standardized test results that we're looking at aren't necessarily representative of the overall capabilities of the students.
No.
Okay. Because I'm kind of looking at that state number two, that, you know, 30%, when you're looking at these numbers, it seems high because it's comparable or somewhat comparable. I mean, you know, except for the 61.54, everything on this one and for third grade and fourth grade is, you know, under 50%, but that still leaves like 70%
yeah.
that have not met a standard. And I'm trying to, I mean, it can't be that 70%, you know, of students are failing,
it's really not. I mean, that goes to even a bigger conversation that this test only assesses them in one way.
Mm.
So, you know, we all know that some people demonstrate their knowledge better by doing something, by saying something, by writing something, by listening, by speaking. And this doesn't give those options
right.
for a kiddo. You know, it's like I said, we could forever on the validity of standardized tests.
Well, they're measuring two intelligences only. Sure. If you want to look at it from the perspective of Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences, mathematical and language, you know, those are two intelligences. And okay, but again, you know, it is what it is. And
what about how they're doing in history or social science?
Yeah,
right.
Okay, well, that. Can they do math or speak? I don't know.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you know, because math and English are the two assessments that we got rid of at the college.
Right.
It's
because these are the provable things in the education system.
It's completely based on how they did in high school. Like, if they're great, so it's cumulative over the entire year. So if a student gets a C, they could have failed tests along the way, right?
Right.
And that's a good grade. So the overall experience through that high school is what, I mean, we have some teachers who just don't like it, but at the same time, it's working. It's working.
Yeah.
Students are not getting placed two levels below transfer, having right. to take remedial math when they were in pre-calc in high school because they failed the assessment test.
Right.
Because
right?
of one test.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, okay, so let's say you want to use this for something. How could you use it? Well, the instructor could use it, right? Because the instructor gets the reports from the students, right? Okay, so this instructor would see that, okay, these are the students didn't do so well. Is there something in place or is there something we can do to help them? I mean, obviously yes. they're trying their best and they're doing their
yes.
best and that's great, but so I was just like, what can we do to help?
There's well, that's actually the whole, kit and caboodle of our program.
Right.
Because we're small enough, we can have those individual learning plans, and the Bill has professional learning communities while I have more partners because my staff is smaller. Talk about what do I need to change up to meet this student's need. We have intervention, we have a dedicated interventionist, we have a dedicated English language development teacher. Once a month we meet to talk about student progress on in-class assessments, not standardized tests.
But what we're really talking about is a pyramid approach to RTI, response to intervention. And it's a three-tiered approach. You've got your proficient children who are tier one, you've got your nearly proficient at tier two, and then you've got your not proficient at tier three. And every one of us knows that within that second tier and third tier, there are levels of proficiency closer to tier two or closer to tier three. So yeah. when we approach response to intervention, our intervention program is based on identifying the tier three students, identifying the tier two students, and identifying the tier one students so that they can become exceeding.
Yep.
And then we provide instruction towards their learning path and the skill specific needs that they have. And then when we look at the map data and the different data we have a program that can look at, it's called the learning continuum. And I can look at my students and their MAP scores, and I can see where they are proficient or where their needs are, right. And it groups into different classes so that we already have identified intervention groups, and then they all have a learning path that we know what standards they need to accomplish proficiency to the next level. So this is all data that we have that we yep. look at and that we really do target in to help these children. Yeah.
And so while I can appreciate this is a good, you know, visual thing, I also have, you know, listened to you guys over time, over the past couple of years, talk about how you are working to help the kids. And I really commend you for going through all those efforts. Like, I hope you don't look at some of the lower numbers and feel bad at all, because you have in place, you know, we know what you have in place because we've been watching. You guys have been saying, you guys have been showing, there's been reports. Like, I think that's really great. I'm really, you know, thank proud you. Of you guys for all you do.
Thank you. I tend to agree with you. I think that what we're seeing here is a one half of a day snapshot over 183-day school.
Right.
And I know Bill agrees with me. We fully recognize both the value of this data and the limitations.
Right.
And then another thing we're looking at is we are looking at the kindergarten student who had whatever obstacles they had to learning in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. Oh my gosh, look at the growth we've seen. You know, and that's the difference, you know, to see these children grow. I mean, I had a child, Camila, sitting in the front office just yesterday. She's a sophomore in high school. Oh, my gosh. I'm looking at her like, I remember you in kindergarten with the big bows and the jumping around, you know, and she's like a student and all these different committees. And it's about growth. You know, oh, my goodness. You know, now we're also working with her brother, Alan, who's in fifth grade. And, you know, I mean, you see these children grow up, and you know each and every one of them come with what they have, and our job is to help them, you know, progress.
That's the very definition of meeting them where they are.
Yeah.
Very definition. You know. We have a little girl, first, second grade, just struggled. Third grade, struggled. She had some home issues. She had an IEP. Just struggles in all areas of life. And she took the second round of MAP recently, and she scored in the green, or maybe it was star, but one of them. Yeah. She scored in the green. And I walked up, we had a meeting, and I saw her, and then I walked up to her afterwards and I said, Izzy, you know you scored in the green? And she looked at me and her eyes got big and she started to cry.
Yeah.
And I said, we're so proud. And we made a huge deal. We're so proud of you. And she kept saying, I've been trying for so long. And we said, you did it. So it's not about this individual score. It's about the growth. And I think even when this is presented to a district board for consideration as part of our charter renewal, most districts, unless they're crazy, most districts look at this the same way as the growth because they're facing the same things in the district. You know, they have to look at the growth that each individual student makes. So that's why I'm not upset with these scores at all. I recognize that we need to find better ways to demonstrate our skill, but I'm pretty happy with what our students and teachers did last year.
Yeah, it's really great.
Okay, let's hand it over to Bill.
Oh, Joseph, if you could do my Ballington district first and then I'll do the state, that would be great. Are you still there?
He's still there.
Joseph?
We lost him.
Uh-oh.
No, he's the VOASW thing.
All right, Joseph, Ballington district.
He's not there.
There we go.
See, he's there. He's always there.
All right. Thank you, Joseph. All right. I'm ready. All right. I call this, basically it's our story of we can do better, and I know we can. But another thing to consider is we are a district school, and that's important to recognize because our scores go into the district and affect their growth or their decline as well. You know, so all of this is taken into consideration. So as you can see in ELA and mathematics, as far as the whole school, we're at 29.36, and the district is at, you know, at 34.82. So we're within the mix, but we're a little down on our EL scores, but we're still there. And then I look at my almost 29% of almost there, and that's our tier two students that, as God is my witness, if we bring them across, we're looking at 40% and beating the state, you know? So I wow. look at that as a good thing. And then mathematics, you know, all the articles I've read about math going down and everything like that across the board, I'm very happy with the fact that from a whole school perspective, we're at 23.58% in math, where the district is at 20.16. So we're in the mix with them, but we've kind of like come a little bit with better with our overall scores. So from a perspective of just looking at the data, you can see that we are in fact a data, you know, we are a Valley school. And I know that the obstacles we have and the things that we're dealing with, you know, the district is as well. So, but we are contributing in a positive way. If we go to our third grade, next slide, you can see, God bless my third grade team because they're adamant about always beating. They really are. You can see that from an ELA perspective, 30.76 met or exceeded. And from the district, 28.67 in ELA met it. So, you know, they did come a couple points ahead of the district in that. And then with math, and I get a kick out of my third grade teachers because both of them will say, I'm an ELA teacher. I'm not a math teacher at all. No, I'm ELA. But whenever we look at the data, we see that 34.61 met or exceeded as compared to 30.54 in the district, including our scores, you know, is a pretty good demonstration of growth. So, you know, they really, kudos to my third grade team. I can't speak highly enough for them and the work they do and the way that they really know how to drill down. So you can see that from our third grade perspective, we really have met and exceeded the district and where they are. So, you know, kudos to my team, kudos to what we're doing, you know. So, and then when we move to the fourth grade, you can see that again, we're a Valley school, you know, we're fourth grade, we dipped a little bit, 25% met or exceeded in ELA versus 30, so we're 5 points behind. We have a greater number of almost exceeding, you know, they've got 32 and we get 25, we get that, we're there, you know. And in math, it's 20 versus 22%, 21 to 22, really 1% difference according to that. So again, we're on par with the district in our fourth grade team as well. You know, and we really did meet or beat the district as we do. You know, as far as fifth grade, we were 31.26% proficient with 31% almost there. And again, the district was at 31.86. So boom, we're a district school. We know that. We had 31% almost there, where the district had 23%. So we're about 8% nearly proficient. So there we have demonstrated growth in that regard. As far as our fifth grade math, though, you can see that, whoa, back. We could see that we had 21.88, which is 22% proficient versus a 13.39% proficiency in mathematics in fifth grade. So you can see that, you know, we're on there with the ELA, a click below. We're a couple clicks above with mathematics in fifth grade. So we're doing well in comparison to the district in sixth grade. You can see again, you know, ELA we're working on 32.14 to 40. I think we dipped a little bit there. We're working on that a little bit more. But again, 32% nearly proficient versus 26%. So to me, that's the idea of nearly getting there. And that's really, if we can get these kids to get 2-3 more questions, man, they're proficient, you know? So that's our goal. And with mathematics, again, they're 19-2-3, we're 20, maybe 21%. So mathematically, we're a click ahead, but we are a district school. So if you look at this data, you can see that, again, we are on par with the district, sometimes a little bit click ahead, sometimes a little click below. We are a valley school dealing with the same things. I think, our data also informs their data. I didn't put a comparison to other schools that are nearby, but some of the schools are hurting a little bit more than we are, and some are doing a click better than us. Our goal is to always raise the bar, but as far as how we look in the district, I think we look pretty good. You know, we've done some good work, you know, through it all. You know, as far as the state again, you know, state dealing with San Francisco and Simi Valley and, oh, all those wealthy districts that had tutors and everything else. So this is a story of what we must do better. You know, although, you know, if you're looking at ELA, you know, we were at 29.3% and they were at 23.58%. So from a whole school perspective, we did okay. You know, we really did. My teachers are proud. Mathematically, you know, we're getting there, 23.58 to 33. So we're about 10 points below the state, you know, and 10 points to us is about 4 kids. So if we can get 4 kids going over the top, then I think we're all right. You know, and that's our goal. You know, as we identify our students, we're looking at our tier 2 students and saying, who are the students who are nearly proficient? What do we need to do to really hit that? You know, because 10 percentage points for us is, 3 to 5 kids. And I think we can do it. Third grade again, you know, 30.76 and 34.61 in math. You can see that the state did 39 and or 30, oh, close to 40. But, you know, we're within that again, you know, nine percentage points below the state in ELA, 6 or so behind in mathematics. That's a doable thing. I think in the future, this coming year with all the things we're doing, I think we can see us really jumping. So that's eye to eye. We're eye to eye in the state in third grade. Fourth grade, again, we dipped a little bit, 25 and 20 to 41, 35. Again, 10 to 15 points below. 5 students, 6 students, but again, 25% nearly there, 48%. This was the killer in math, man. I'm telling you, Miss Robles was and Miss Castro were kicking themselves because 48% of them were real close. And I look at that like if we get that 40%, just 40%, we're at 60%. We kick the state's butt, you know? And that's how we have to look at it. We've got to look at it like we're real close. And what are we doing to raise the bar for these tier 2 and then move these tier 3 students above? Fifth grade again, 31 and 21.8 to 46 and 30. Again, you're looking 10 to 15 points, you know, with a higher degree in ELA, 31%, almost proficient, which is fantastic, you know, to 20%. So we're demonstrating growth in our tier 3 to 2 students. And I think that's important to recognize while maintaining, at least above a quarter or so, you know, so I think we're doing okay with that. And with sixth grade, 32-19, there was a dip in sixth grade. I don't understand this. We've been talking business for a while because it's a lot of like statistics and things. And, you know, we had 26% almost there. I'm not happy with it. I'm not going to lie with you, Tia. You know, sometimes, and I'll give you a story about my kid when he was in middle school. He bombed every damn test he took. You know, he was just horrible. And when he got to high school and then they went through high school and all his friends, horrible test scores. I worked at the district too. So I looked at that data and I couldn't believe what was going on. And then when they got to high school and he took this, the SAT and the ACTs, it was like all of a sudden, it's like I looked at the score and I was like, oh my goodness, what happened? Like, you're doing great. And he looked at me and I kid you not, he kind of laughed and said, oh, Dad, nobody takes those tests serious in middle school at all. We don't do it at all. We just guess. You know, and that was eye-opening. I was like, what? And he said, we don't care about that. It don't matter. We just click it to get it over with. And that's kind of like what I feel these sixth graders do. They get to that place where they're like, doesn't matter. I don't care. I'm out of here, you know. But high school, you know, his friends and him, he found brains I never knew they had, you know. So I think there's a little bit about that motivational thing. How do we get the kids to understand that, you know, you have to represent. You know, I know they're smarter than this because I know these kids, you know.
So they do better when there's something at stake.
Right. And when there's nothing at stake, because we're going to middle school anyway. And I'll kid you not, I get middle school kids coming back and high school kids coming back. And they're on the honor roll and they're this and they're like, I'm like, what? Like, wonderful. We did a great job. But why didn't you demonstrate that in sixth grade? You know, so it's,
I think
it's
that's very true for anything in life. Yeah. You know, you're not going to put out a great deal of effort unless there's some sort of buy-in.
Yeah.
You know, there's got to be buy-in. And when you're a kid and your brain's not developed, that buy-in is, you know, it has to be really, really tangible what they're getting out of it in order to perform.
Right. So you can see that we're a mixed bag right now with all of them here and there. But when it comes down to the gestalt of it, you know, I think we're doing okay. And as always, we want to do better, you know, and I'm hoping this year with everything we've got in place that we'll see these kick up as well, you know. But again, being a Valley school and being a part of the district and being a part of it, I think, you know, the good thing I see is that we are working with the district and we are helping them raise scores, because I did look at other schools that were doing very poorly and that brings their average down. So I can say we're not bringing their average down, you know, but there's work to be done. I'm not gonna lie.
I really like this presentation from both schools. I mean, I really, and I like the format. It's really, I don't know. Yeah, it's clear.
Yeah. Clear. Yeah, I always like this. I like looking at the dashboard and looking at the different data and comparing. And then you can drill down as Shannon did with a close by school. You could demonstrate too that this is a school that these children would have gone to. I didn't go that depth with that. But, you know, you can look at that and see where all of the schools did. And I do look at every school in the Valley. I know Calexico, I know Imperial, I know all of the district scores. And I'm saying when I look at it, we're doing okay. But we have to do better, as always. You know, that's how I look at it. Any questions?
Any questions or comments from the board members?
I do have one comment, and I think it's going back to, you know, kids at that age, elementary level, they don't understand the importance, and I think it's necessary for the parents to reinforce the importance.
Yes.
Having a seventh and eighth grader, you know, going from Ballington to a middle school, Luke couldn't figure out why he wasn't in advanced, I think it was math, and he's excellent in math and his grades were always great in math. And we stopped and we said, remember those tests that we told you about?
Yeah.
How well you do there determines where you're placed at the next grade level. And it kind of clicked with him. But if they're not told that in the lower levels, you know, and again, it's what's important to the student too. You know, if you tell them, well, the better you score here, the better class you'll get next year when you go to middle school. But it comes from, you know, we had to explain it to him, you know, go to bed, get a good night's rest. You have a test tomorrow. Okay. It's another test. No, you don't understand the importance of it. So it's not just, what do I get out of it now? What's tangible? It's the parents need to reinforce that as well.
Right. And what you're giving me right now actually is I can move on that because we will, you know, since we started in school instruction again, we will be opening up. Usually we have a parent academy, a couple of parent academies a year where we have workshops to help parents understand looking at the report card, looking at data. And you just hit upon a point that would be a nice workshop to talk about right. parents in the upper grades, like this fifth and sixth grade, so that they begin to recognize. So right. thank you for that. So I'm going to put that on my agenda. I have a meeting tomorrow and we are preparing a parent academy. I think we were thinking about end of November, but it's so we've got the breakfast with Santa and the Christmas parade. And so we're probably going to do it in December, but that's an excellent topic. So thank you very much. I appreciate that.
No problem.
Yeah, definitely.
So this is an item that needs to be approved by the board?
No, this was just an informational item.
Okay, thank you. Oh, board discussion items, I see. Okay. Any more discussion?
I would like to invite the board to our In-N-Out truck this Friday. I recognize that those of you in faraway lands are not going to drive 2.5 hours just to get an In-N-Out hamburger, but I still wanted to put it out there. And on December 8th is our holiday program at Indian Springs High School at 6:00. So if anyone is able to make it, we'd love to see you.
December 8th?
Yes, it's a Thursday.
Okay.
It's too bad you're so far away.
No.
Yeah, I was thinking it was too bad you were so far away.
That's great.
Shannon, I'm super close.
Christy's nice and close.
Things about the lens.
All right. Well, shall we move on?
I know that we have for the last item, we have a meeting set for next Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I am still unclear as to whether or not we are going dark in December. So I would advise if the board is in agreement that at next Tuesday's meeting, there's a decision about a December meeting.
Okay. That'll be on the agenda.
I can let Doreen know to put it on the agenda.
Yeah, I think otherwise we can't talk about it. Like,
officially. Okay. And then I am sorry, I skipped right over Board Officer Slate, but I'm sure, I know that we're at a point where we need to look at the slate and we're going to postpone that until our next full meeting.
Okay. So postponed. So we're at the closing comments. Does anyone have any closing comments? Anything that they wanted to say that they didn't, or questions, anything?
Just want to say thank you for the presentation, and I guess we can do it without Doreen, huh?
Don't you dare.
Don't tell her that.
Don't you dare.
We barely made it through the meeting without Doreen.
Oh, my goodness. No.
Bill and I would run screaming to other.
No. Don't you ever even think that.
Are you having anything in El Centro with like a Christmas, anything that we would want to come to?
How about it, Bill? Any Christmas festivities or holiday festivities in El Centro?
We will probably, and I have to check the dates, but we're going to have a breakfast with Santa, which is a fundraiser. You know, we just finished our fall festival. Nice time. Really went off well. I mean, it was just amazing. We were a little, everybody was hesitant because we hadn't done it in like 2 years or so. Mm-hmm. And we had a great turnout and everything was great with that. And we're going to continue that now with the the Breakfast with Santa, which I think is December 9th. I got to check with everybody about that, if that's a weekend. We have a meeting tomorrow where we'll finalize all this. And then there's also the Christmas parade, you know, in the Valley. So we do that. Mm-hmm. Last year we won the float contest in our category, but also we took the whole thing. Wow. So now we feel like we have to represent. I think that's going to be December 2nd, but again, I'm not sure. So tomorrow I'll find that. So the 2nd and 9th seem to be possible days for Breakfast with Santa and the Christmas parade. So
that's fun.
Yeah, those will be fun because we get out there and it's just a nice time. You know, I in fact, I still have pictures of Luke and Maggie in their little boxes dressed as presents, my friend. Okay.
Oh,
from
my
last
goodness.
Time. Oh, yeah, I've got them. And I got your husband sitting there in the background with his elf hat on. So I got pictures.
he took direction very well. Here, you're wearing this. Go.
I could tell that's what you said, too.
Yes.
So we're not sure where we're going to go with it, but I know we have to represent. It's always a good time. So I'll keep you posted on that. Okay.
Yeah, because I feel a little bad because I kind of joined during COVID, so there really wasn't a lot of that kind of thing going on. And Shannon, I feel, God, I can't, it's hard for me to get out there because of work, but
I wouldn't expect you, honestly, I would not expect you to. That's quite a drive. It's a pretty
long time. I want to come out there. I want to come. I was planning on putting together just something very small. And so I was going to ask you, and this could be off the record. I don't know if we can finish the meeting and we could stay on. Would that be okay, Christy? Because I don't think this is pertinent.
I actually don't think that is allowed by the rules of the rules of our committee. We're not allowed to meet and discuss.
As Christy, as long as we're not meeting about actual school business.
Not school business.
Oh, okay.
No. We're okay to speak.
Just personal. Like,
okay. This is all right. Then maybe we should close on that note. The date and time and location of next meeting, that'll be virtual again, 1 week from today at 5:30.
All right. Thank you, guys.
And we'll call it at 6:31 p.m.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Catch you. Bye.